Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, the part after feedback, chapter one, me first, part two. Here we go. Let's finish up where we left off on last cast.
So, quick overview. We were talking about how in part one, what you've got to do is insist on finishing your conversation, which is obviously the feedback model conversation, when your direct pushes back. And I think at the end we were saying it actually makes it easier for you to insist politely, both to insist and to do it politely, when you know in your heart you're not trying to say to them, no, we will never talk about what you want to talk about. What you want to talk about is totally false and fake and I don't care about you. No, we're going to let them talk about it, but we're only going to let them talk about it after we finish what we started, which is a fair thing to ask for, which is the feedback model, right?
Right, exactly.
And your direct wants to change the conversation. And we're telling you, ignore that desire and insist reasonably, professionally, politely on finishing the feedback model, okay? And I've come up with a stupid parallel example that I think will help people, okay? It's not perfect, guys, but it'll help. Let's say that you and your daughter are trying to decide which movie you're going to go see. And you're discussing, say, The Bourne Legacy and The Avengers. She says, wait a minute, Dad, or Mom. Let's decide what we're going to eat while we're there. Are we going to have nachos? Or are we going to have popcorn? Are we going to have Dr. Pepper? Are we going to have Coke? Are we going to have Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi? Now look, those aren't unreasonable questions to ask oneself about going to the movies, but they only apply after you get to the movies. And before you get to the movies, you have to decide which one to go see. You have to buy a ticket for the movie you want to go see before you get to the line to buy the food you're going to eat at the movies. Even if the food question is a good one to have, who knows whether it is or isn't, maybe the nachos are bad or maybe the popcorn is good, who knows? It's more reasonable to solve the first problem of which movie to go to, even if for no other reason than it was the first problem that was discussed. And too much time spent discussing the second problem without having solved the first problem might make both moot if you don't make the movie.
Yeah, good point.
And frankly, if your daughter wants to spend an hour deciding what food to have at the movies, which are going to start in 45 minutes, it's not a terrible bet that she's using the discussion to avoid talking about The Avengers or The Bourne Legacy because she doesn't really want to go to those movies. Having a discussion about food is not a way to communicate, I don't want to go to either of those movies. What you'd have to say is, I don't want to go to either of those movies, okay? Which would be the equivalent of step four, which movie do you want to go to, okay? And didn't you make a point in the first cast about insisting and not to get too wrapped around the axle about insisting?
Yeah. The word, it has some overtones of forcefulness or power that we don't certainly mean here.
No, we're not. When we say insist, we aren't suggesting your tone changes to one that might be called insistent at all, guys. We don't mean that. We understand that you might think that, but we just want to be clear and say we don't mean that at all. Hopefully, you guys heard the continued relaxed nature of my tone specifically in the examples we gave during part one, right? You can insist without sounding insistent by simply returning to the purpose of the original conversation rather than allowing your first purpose, the feedback model, to die and to let another one take its place. That insistence on sticking to the purpose of your conversation, which is, of course, to encourage effective future behavior, stems from our role power in part, also in part our ethical credibility, you tend to finish the things you start, and our correct use of the model that our direct hopefully knows well. And look, guys, all the pushback in the world doesn't invalidate the point, the fact, or the value of your properly delivered feedback. Whether your direct has a valid point or not, their point's validity has no bearing on your point's validity, and your point came first, and they agreed to it in step one of the model. So, our guidance is simple. Insist politely, respectfully. Don't be insistent in your tone. Insist by repeating your fundamental principle of I want you to commit to new behavior when they first start pushing back. Okay? Insist politely. come back to the question in step four. Can you change that? Can you do that differently? That's what we mean by being insistent.
Okay. I get that. I rolled over pretty quickly when I pushed back, right? And you came, asked me another question very politely. And I rolled over pretty quickly in terms of taking the feedback or agreeing to change my behavior.
Yeah, I'm just that good. That's not true, folks.
Yeah. Don't say that, because then people are going to think that this is way harder than it is, and it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Yeah.
But we got to address the issue of what if the direct continues to push back and doesn't respond politely and professionally to your insistence, your polite insistence that you be given the chance to give the feedback. So what do you do in those cases?
Hang them high, pretty much. No. Yeah. Look, you use our recommendations on shot across the bow. Okay. It's possible that your direct is not going to acquiesce to your insistence. They push back. You insist by politely repeating your question. Dude, I hear you. And let's cover one thing at a time here. Can you please change your behavior? And if you'll commit to that, then we can talk about what your issues are. And that sounded terrible, what your issues are. But you know what I mean, good, right? Yeah. But unfortunately, it really is usually a case of professional immaturity. If you brief your people on the feedback model, they understand that why they did what they did or disagreeing with the model is really probably unlikely to make a difference in terms of your willingness to give feedback on something and your willingness to stick to your guns and say, can you change that? Okay. But look, guys, regardless of their motivation, we can't make people listen. If they're trying to talk about their motivations or their excuses, they're not listening to our point, which is asking them to think differently about the future. And if they're not listening to our point, we can't achieve the purpose of our conversation with them, which is, of course, to get them to commit to new behavior in the future for negative feedback. So what this all boils down to is there's no sense continuing our conversation if we can't achieve our purpose. Whether they're trying to hijack it with their purpose or not, if you know in your heart you cannot achieve your purpose of the conversation that you're in, stop having the conversation.
Right. On the other hand, there's the problem of abandoning our purpose while trying to address theirs. There's the opposite problem.
Yeah, that makes no sense though, right? I mean, people say, oh, okay, you're pushing back. I gotta address your pushback before I get to give my feedback. Like hell, no. Look, I started this conversation. It's reasonable for me to give you feedback. I know you've got pushback, and your pushback is separate from your commitment for new behavior. You may disagree with me, and I'm still your boss, and there are some things that when I tell you to do them, you have to do them or there are going to be consequences. And so I started the conversation, and even if I decide not to finish it, it doesn't mean the reason I'm not going to finish it is because you think you have a better idea.
Right.
If I'm not going to get to finish mine, I'm not going to help you finish yours. Otherwise, you and I will always be in a tug of war between who's in charge in a conversation. And no offense, guys, but I don't care how good a direct you are. That's not a way to go through life as a manager or as a direct. So don't make the mistake of abandoning your purpose because you've been trying to address what your direct wants. Because all they'll do is take advantage of you in the future, generally speaking. And they will always interrupt you, and they'll never have to commit to new behaviors because you'll always be talking about their pushback. Simple.
Yeah, that leads us to our next point, which is part of the problem sometimes is that the direct, really, this pushback is all really a smokescreen for the fact that they want to have a different conversation than you. You want to talk about the behavior and the outcomes, and they want to have a different conversation.
They'll have any conversation. Yeah, they want to have any conversation other than the one you're having.
Yeah,
feedback is about behavior and the outcomes of that behavior. When it's done correctly, it's not about intent. It's not about a direct's emotional state. It's not about the direct's inherent goodness as a person or lack thereof. Okay. But frankly, that's not how most directs perceive negative feedback initially. They see it. And frankly, we think it's understandable that they see it this way. They see it as an attack on themselves. Many managers who aren't used to communicating about performance believe that directs, when the manager starts giving feedback, the directs are attacking the feedback model. And while some people are, most people aren't. Most directs are not attacking the model. The problem here is that we got to all remember something. You're managing a person who brings to their professional relationship with you, all of their previous relationships with those people who had some form of role power over them. parents and teachers and coaches and professors and every bad boss they've ever had. Those previous role power actors, if you will, I think that's a generalization, but I think you know what I mean. Those people whom they'd met who had some role power over them were probably, if they're average, awful at performance communications. They probably not only didn't give a lot of negative performance communications, when they did so, it was important and people were in trouble and they delivered it poorly in a fashion that was personal. And it felt to the direct like an attack or a threat.
And it probably was. That's what the average man did.
Yeah, for many of them, it was. They didn't even have the smarts to veil it. They just were openly threatening, right? But guys, we believe in our heart of hearts. Mike and I believe, and Danny believes, and Maggie believes, and Winnie believes, and Kay and Kate and Eliza all believe. When a manager tools manager gives feedback, our directs often respond based on how they've learned to respond to personal threats from previous role power actors who weren't as good as we were. And so the pushback we get from our directs is often a completely reasonable response to our professional communication in the minds of our directs. So let's not, when they push back, let's not say they're wrong. The point they're making may not be valid, but the place it comes from is probably legitimate in the sense that here comes another boss treating me like crap because I did something wrong. And they're afraid. I mean, they're afraid. In today's market, with the market not being great right now in 2012, people are worried about their job. They're worried about their livelihood. They're worried about their kids and their spouse. So sometimes when people push back, a good bit of time when people push back, it's nothing more than fear and loathing based on previous bosses who treated them terribly.
There you go.
And we don't need to shut that down by saying, no, I'm not going to talk to you about that.
Right. And by the way, folks, if you follow our recommended strategy for rolling out the Manage Tools Trinity and you give weeks and weeks of positive feedback before getting to negative feedback,
yes,
the chance that this goes down even further.
Yep.
Just easy. A thought.
Dude, that brings us to the final point, and it's kind of a nice way to end this first cast. We want you guys to know, we recommend you insist on finishing the feedback conversation. If you can't, you walk away. But we also want to tell you, your direct's concern or their pushback in some cases is valid, or let me put it this way, the pushback may not be valid, but the place where it comes from is valid. So our final point is, it's okay to have a pushback discussion. Because if you're willing to send a message to your directs by listening to them talk about something that's probably crazy to you anyway, if you're willing to listen to them and go, dude, in your heart, you're saying, I know where you're coming from and I know you're struggling and so on, it's fine to have that conversation with them. It's not fine to have the conversation keep you from giving feedback. And so it's fine to have a pushback discussion after you've completed the feedback model. If we get our purpose achieved, there's nothing wrong with addressing their pushback.
And I think people often get confused when they hear us talk about the feedback model. In their head, they make something up that suggests that we're never willing to have a conversation with them.
Right.
The feedback. They confuse part one and part two. They want to interject part two, the discussion about it, into part one. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work effectively that way, that's for sure.
Right.
But that's not to suggest we're not willing to have the conversation.
Yeah, the feedback model does not forbid a pushback discussion. It just doesn't address it because the model is over once we get to an agreement to change. So if you want to state it big picture, the Manager Tools feedback system says the feedback model doesn't forbid a pushback discussion because it doesn't allow it to happen during the feedback model. But it doesn't forbid the discussion. It simply delays the discussion. That's all. We want to talk about this more in terms of how to discuss all the different pushbacks. We'll have multiple casts on this because everybody asks. I mean, Danny and I spent an hour today answering questions about, well, what if they say this? What if they say this? What if their pushback is this concern or that concern? Or, you know, they have a special situation or they have a family problem or whatever. I'm like, geez. And everybody was saying, no, that's not the question I'm answering. Let me slightly change my scenario for you. I'm like, okay, I've got an answer for all this stuff. But for now, guys, we're going to have more guidance. But for now, keep in mind that you can address pushback. You just need to make sure you get your agenda covered first. And I really do think, and I'd love to hear from some of you who find this to be true, that once you allow yourself to agree to a pushback discussion, as long as you finish the feedback model, you'll be able to finish the feedback model sounding, if you'll pardon the expression, more like I did in terms of relaxedness and total comfort about, yeah, no, we're not going to talk about what you want to talk about. And I want to finish what I want to talk about. And then we can talk about what you want to talk about. So we say first things first. And then after you say, yeah, I'll change my behavior, I'll work on it, say, cool. All right, let's talk about your concerns because I want to answer your concerns if I can. At the same time, we'll also say, if you don't have time, you get to walk away. But it's just that easy. It's okay to have a pushback discussion. It's not okay to have a pushback discussion in the middle of the feedback model because the feedback model says the feedback model stands on its own. But once you're done, absolutely, you got a good relationship with your direct? Absolutely. Have a pushback discussion with them. And look, maybe it's misguided, but at least it's understandable why they're doing it because they've had bad bosses before. They want what they want and they understand why they want it. And at the same time, guys, we want what we want, which is closure on commitment to new behaviors. Once we get that, their agenda may be worth discussing. But again, only after we accomplish our objective of delivering feedback.
There you go.
That's it, partner.
Thanks, my friend.
You bet, buddy.
Well, we'll see you. Bye. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.